The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do? Now that my master is taking the position away from me, I am not strong enough to dig and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jigs of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager, because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated and good morning. We've listened to a lot of stories about fraud and mismanagement almost every day. It doesn't take much for you to hear about a banker stealing money or a stockbroker cheating, you know, on different kinds of stocks, or maybe a sales clerk ringing up the cash register, but instead of putting the money in the register, she kind of puts it in her pocket. These things go on and on and on all the time, and you wonder to yourself whether honesty has gone the way of the dinosaur. You know, where is honesty? Everything seems to be so dishonest. And this is not something new. Indeed, it's gone all the way back to the times of Jesus. And Jesus was telling a story today about a manager who was accused of being unfaithful. Now, we don't know whether he was dishonest or whether he was just, devious. It could be, you know, he made a mistake, or it could be that he was doing all of this stuff on purpose. But nevertheless, he was called to his boss, and the boss said to him, give me an accounting of what you're doing and what's going on. I want to see the books. And today, we call that kind of an audit. You know, like when the IRS calls you, you know, you panic because you say to yourself, oh, my God, am I going to have to pay or something? Did I do something wrong? And so the guy who's going to be called in for this audit begins to think to herself, what am I going to do? It's certainly that I'm going to get fired. You know, my boss is going to take away everything that I have, you know, and I don't know what to do. I'm not a spring chicken. You know, I'm not this young guy that can go out and do all kinds of work. I'm not strong, so I can't lift things, and certainly I'm too proud to beg. And so he says to himself, what am I going to do? And so he starts to plot up this kind of idea, and he said, I know what I'll do. Let me get the people that owe my boss some money, and we'll work out a little deal. And so what he did, as we read to you a few minutes ago, everyone that came in and owed him a certain amount of money, he says, you owe 100, cut it in half, make it 50. You owe 80, 40%, I'll cut it down. He figured if he would cut these particular amounts that the people owed his boss, that he would have a little cushion with these guys. Remember the quid pro quo we talked about several weeks ago? I do this for you, you do this for me, right? I give you a little break, and you're going to give me a little break down the line. And so he starts to do this. And so he figures that even when he gets fired, he'll have a place to go when he's out of job. And so he can go to people and they can, you know, either invite him into his house or even offer him a job or, you know, just be nice to him because he cut them a deal. Otherwise, he can easily blackmail them. Now, this has got to be one of the most puzzling readings in the New Testament, because you try to figure out why Jesus even brings this thing up, and then secondly, why he even commends the shrewd manager. In fact, he's called shrewd. He's called one who thinks ahead. He's called wise in many different words. And you say to yourself, how is it that Jesus is commending this guy? If he had used the story and then said this man was absolutely wrong, we could say, okay, This is something I can buy. This is agreeable. This is moral. I can understand this. I can live with this. But when Jesus calls him shrewd and that the people of light should learn from him, how do you learn from a crook, right? And so I figured to myself, what is it that this guy had to offer that was so interesting to Jesus and that Jesus uses him as a model? And certainly what he starts to do is that he's very forward-looking. The guy knows that his particular job is coming to an end. He starts to think about what he's going to do, how he's going to prepare for his future. And he becomes shrewd because he figures if he works out this deal with these people, he'll be all right. He won't go hungry and he'll have friends in the hood. Ah, the hood, anyway. Sometimes I forget where I'm talking, you know. It brings back memories. I had a lot of fun with this sermon with the guys in the prison because I told them, you know, you guys can really teach us something. And they were all at the end of the chair. Yeah, what can I teach you? And I said, well, you guys think ahead. Obviously, you didn't on this particular case because you're here with me. So anyway, the idea that they would think ahead and that they would plan and do all kinds of stuff, you know, this is something that Jesus was commending that this particular manager did that proved to be well. Isn't that something that we all do? I mean, really, when we think about our own lives in the material world, don't we all kind of plan? Don't you guys go to school so you can have a good job? Don't you work hard so you can have a good profession? Don't you want to save money for that rainy day that may come up? You know, God forbid that you get sick or something and you lose your job. These are the things that we prepare for. These are the things that we spend our life trying to accumulate so that we have some security and that when we get to that point, we're not caught off guard. But what is it perhaps that this Jesus is still pointing out to this guy? He mentions that the spiritual people should learn from this guy, from this crook, if you will. What is it that he would learn? Because we are all trying to do what he's doing. In other words, protecting our interests and our future. What is it that he's trying to tell us through this particular gospel? And so I figured, you know, maybe Jesus is trying to get us to think in terms of what we should prepare for, what we should look ahead for in terms of our spiritual and in terms of our relational areas in our life. Certainly, it's no secret that many people spend so much time working in the office, they lose their families. How many times have you heard that a guy retires, he comes home, his wife doesn't even know him, and his kids don't want him home because they never had a relationship with the guy. He spent his time working, you know, as much as he could in the office. Or somebody who's traveling or somebody who's doing all kinds of businesses or any occupation that they're involved in to the point that they exclude their wife and their kids because they're so driven. You know, there's something more than money. There's something more than being successful. There's something more than being powerful or well-situated in your world and in your life and in your profession. And I think this is the point that Jesus is telling us we need to pay more attention to because we can get caught up. Maybe you saw it just recently on a front line. And this was a thing about one girl that was going to school and they intervened when she was in junior high school. And this is called subprime students. I don't know if you've seen it. It was on front line. It's very, very interesting. They intervened on this girl because she was in junior high school. She was going to start being, you know, lazy and start not doing her work. They intervened. They got her involved, and she started to become successful. Her brother, on the other hand, who was a twin, was not involved in that, and he ended up in jail at the end. What I want to point out is that he didn't plan his future. What he did is he got involved in all kinds of things, and then I know I'm running you really quick on this one. When he went to rob somebody that ended him up in prison, he says to the guy he's robbing, I'm sorry, I'm doing this for my daughter. And I said to myself, that doesn't cut it. You're not going to use a robbing to say that you're trying to protect and do something for your daughter when for your entire youth, you didn't do anything to prepare for work or anything. And this is where we can have arguments. But certainly, this young man was not prepared. He didn't look in the trajectory of his life. He didn't look. And now that he stole the money, he's not going to see his daughter because 4 or 5 years he's going to spend in prison. So that doesn't work. That doesn't work. There's something more that we have to look at in our lives in terms of what we do and what occupations we get involved in. And this is what Jesus is trying to point to, that you have to think about the relationships you have with those who love you and you love in your life. You know, in the end of our lives, as we get older, we're going to be looking to each other for comfort, for strength, for security, and for a sense of belonging. You know, it's not that money is going to give you the security. That's why Jesus said you can't serve money and man. You know what the word for money is? Mammon. You ever hear that? It's an old 16, you know, but it comes out of the Bible. Mammon. You know what mammon is? Mammon is the worship of money, personifying it into a god. Because money is so good. You know, if you have a lot of money, you don't have to worry about anybody. You can put it in the bank. You don't even have to have friends because you can do what you want. You can buy the friends. You can do anything you want because you have money. And Jesus is saying that money is not going to give you warmth. That money is not going to give you compassion. That money is not going to give you understanding or wisdom. That money is not going to give you a sense of belonging. Because you're spending your time going after money. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us that the crook began to look at. Now let me go back and try to clear up a little bit of the story because it's still frustrating. Because the truth of the story is that everybody stole at that time. Whenever an owner had something, he would charge 50% for money and about 75% for goods. This was just a common practice. Now, the collector or the manager would put his 20% on that, on top of that, or 25% on that. Now, I bet you that when he sat down and this manager says, if you owe my master 100, let's cut it to 50, he was taking off his percentage, not the manager's. You know why? Because if he did that to the manager, you think the manager's stupid enough to say you're shrewd? The manager would have thrown him in prison. So he's taking his own cut, and he's cutting it off from these guys. And this is how he's ingratiating himself. And then the owner, imagine the owner being Jewish. If he's Jewish, he knows that he's not supposed to charge interest because that comes from the Old Testament. You don't lend money to your brother and charge him interest. And so he recognizes that this guy, this manager, is doing the right thing. And so he says, you're shrewd, in order to, you know, bulk up and protect himself from being, you know, the one who's not doing it. Does that make sense? So this is kind of what's going on in the story. But the point of what happens is that the manager recognizes in that moment he has an existential crisis. And he says, my God, I need friends. I don't have friends. I need people that I could depend on. I don't have that. I've been ripping these people off all my life because I wanted to make money. Now I'm older and I want something more than this. And he says, you know, the money that I've been making on them is not that important anymore. You see, you get that point? That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying that he recognized that he should not be using his people, but he should make friends with them. And he realizes the story and he says, now I recognize that I need people in my life, that I can't snub people because they disagree with me, that I can't dismiss them because we just don't see eye to eye, that I can't think the worst of them because they don't agree with every word that I say. This is the point that Jesus is saying us spiritual people should remember and should put into practice. Because some of us forget that because we have a religion, we have to be human in that religion. We have to see people in their context. We have to understand them where they are. And we have to respect them in the situations that they find themselves in. This is how you express that love of that religion, so that you can have a relationship with them. And through that relationship, you can endear them, you can understand them, you can get closer to them, you can have a relation and dialogue with them. That's the most important thing. You know, religion can separate. You know, look around in the East, everybody's fighting before religion. Isn't that the most disgusting thing? When I look at Israel, it's like a paradox to me. Israel, the Holy Land. But they fight everyone. Everybody's fighting. You know how much blood is spilled on the Holy Land? It's no longer Holy Land to me. Why? For religion? They missed the point. You see, we get caught up in ideas. But Jesus is reminding us that the bottom line is the relationships we have with each other based on genuine respect and love. This is what Jesus says we spiritual people need to get. We need to remember that even though you're spiritual, you still have to try to be relating to people who are different than you. You have to try to love people no matter what they do, even if they irritate the heck out of you, even if they're a pain in your neck. But this is what we are called to do, and this is bringing forth, and this is what Jesus says. This is if you handle that right, he'll give you more. If you handle that little bit, he'll give you more. But it's up to how you handle whatever you have in your life that will determine whether you get it or not. So today, the steward is shrewd because he recognized not that he was going to be out of work, but that he was going to be out of friends, that he was going to be out of relationships, that it was going to be out of people that could actually support him and take care of him as he grew older. Not because he just was able to manipulate money. And the owner recognized that he was shrewd because he was Jew. And he knew that he should not add interest to it, people's property and so forth. So they learned that lesson, and all the people learned that. And the whole context of this particular gospel is, how do you relate to people in terms of money or economy? How do we see each other? How do we see the poor? How do we see the outcasts? How do we see the homeless? How do we see the people who can't contribute to society because of a number of reasons? We judge them. We blame them. It's so easy to say they're not doing their part. It's so easy to say they screwed up. But there are other factors involved. If you look around our society, we are frauding and mismanaging money everywhere. Wasn't it Wells Fargo just a couple of weeks ago that was creating all kinds of accounts so that they can make extra money? If you look, just read the paper. You'll see the TV ads. The TV news. You'll see that we're just ripping each other off. And that's not what the kingdom is about. This is not what life should be like, Jesus said. It's more to life than money, more to life than having these things. And he's calling our attention that those who respect each other, love each other, and treat each other with dignity and respect, those are the true kingdom people. And that the more you love people that way, the more you'll have in your life. The more you treat people decently, with love, with respect, the more you'll have in your life for that.